This is New Classical Tracks from listener-supported American Public Media. If you're enjoying this podcast, the best thing you can do for this show is to tell somebody else about it. Help spread the word. Then take a moment and rate and review us on your podcasting app. Gao Hong has been playing the pipa for 52 years. I talked to her recently. In fact, she joined me in studio and brought her beautiful pipa with her. The first thing that I noticed was the dragon on top of the instrument. And she said, well, you know what? I had to special order this instrument because three times my instrument has been damaged on an airline. But it was especially exciting because on the top of that instrument is a dragon, and this is the year of the dragon in the Lunar New Year. Well, we talk about that and her new recording, which sees her combining her talents with a flamenco guitarist. It's an exciting new release. It's called Alondra. It's what we hear about this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Almacher. Gao Hong, tell us about this beautiful instrument and how it was made especially for you, and also how it's so well connected to the Lunar New Year, and in particular, the Year of the Dragon.
Yeah, this special pipa is made just for me, because in the past, I had a very bad luck to bring my pipa on the airplane. I broke three pipas in three different airlines. So now this special pipa, the head you can take off, so make this pipa much smaller. So that's because of special order. So on the top, there is a beautiful dragon. Because I was born the year of the dragon and happened to this Lunar New Year, also it's the dragon year. So it's very, very special for me.
Now what I would love for you to do is tell us a little bit about playing the instrument. What makes it most challenging to play? You've been playing it really almost your entire life, from what I've read. How have you mastered this instrument? What makes it so unique?
Actually, the Chinese pipa, many people refer it as like a guitar. But if you watch closely, the guitar will go, they plug in, but the Chinese pipa is opposite way. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Actually go out. Already make a challenge, because I always joking Chinese people like to work harder even when they play the pipa, because this unnatural, this is natural. So I've been playing for 52 years this year. So when I first start, it's very challenging because of the different lengths of the fingers. You have to manage them on the same volume. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All the beginner sounds like this, because they cannot manage it. So that's the most challenging thing for to play the pipa. And also the Chinese pipa has such expressive feelings. A lot of left hand. So you can have a left hand to express your feelings. On the right hand, and the balls, you can make like a Chinese firecracker, or cannon shot, or Chinese percussion band, dai dai dai, a simple cha cha cha, the drum together. You can hear dai 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 dai, or you can hear horse trotting. You can hear the horse trotting, or you can even imitate the geese, like they talk to each other. Or you can make a blow wind. You even person can talk to Chinese. 你好吗？很高兴见到你。很高兴见到你。It's happy to meet you. Or people laughing. Ha 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 ha.So you can make a lot of fun on the Chinese people. I think that's the most challenge.
And I think you do such a beautiful job bringing it all to life. It really is a beautiful instrument, and you make it come to life just by the way you play it. Is there something special you have on your fingers as well?
Yes. Actually, I have a 5 artificial nails. It's made of plastic. This pipa is about 2,000 years old, and a long time ago made of guts and silk string, but now has been borrowed like a violin guitar string. It's metal, so I have this fingernails to protect my finger, so make the sounds more brighter.
I would really like to kind of go back to your beginnings, mm-hmm. because you have such a, I'm going to call kind of a, it's a hard story, but also a sweet story, because some wonderful things come out of your story from, you know, when you were growing up. And
yeah.
I love your story about being called, I think it was like the little black kitten.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your roots and how the pipa became so important to you.
Yeah, my mom was a music teacher, and my father was a land owner during the Cultural Revolution, which means the blacklist. So that's right away during the Cultural Revolution. My mom was worried about I would had to go to countryside. So she forced me to play the pipa so I can avoid go to the countryside. That's why pipa is, the Cultural Revolution is a sad story to my family, but also it's because of that I became a musician. My mom usually forced me to practice 8 hours a day, every day, like a morning 2 hour, lunch 2 hour, after school 2 hour, after dinner for 2 hour. All my life has been like that. And I usually get up like 5 a.m. There was too cold. I didn't want to wake up my colleague. At age 12, I became a professional musician. So when I had a dance singing troupe, I get up in the early morning in the winter, I would go to a furnace room. And because it was so much cold, so dirty, I would have a mask on. Then when you're breathing, then your mask become white. So when you take off your mask, go to breakfast at 7 o'clock, my face all look like a the cat. So that's why I have a nickname called Black Kitten, because I was the youngest one for the entire whole dance and singing troupe.
And you were something like 400 miles from home. I mean, that's a long ways away for a little one.
Yeah, I never had slept by myself before then. I was crying every day until I fell asleep. That was a really, really hard time for me, the very, very beginning of my life. For a while, I always say if I never want to play the pipa, if I had a wish, I probably just never want to play the pipa. But now for 52 years, I'm still playing. I think it's a part of in my blood. If you take my pipa away, I probably will be very upset. But if you say, will you go next life? Will you go play pipa again? I probably will have to think about it because it's way too difficult.
It's interesting because you're holding your pipa right now, and it really does look like an extension of you, like it is part of you.
I got to tell you a true story. My daughter wouldn't accept me to hold the pipa when she was little, until 4 years old. Because every time when I practiced, she thought I was holding a baby. She would push the pipa, put my pipa away, and sit on my lap. Then she got bored, she would go away, and I would pick my pipa again. Then she came, push again, because she hated when I hold the pipa, look like I'm holding a baby. Until 4 years old, she wouldn't allow me to play on stage, because she thought I would play another baby.
Does she play the pipa?
No.
Okay.
No, she still hated the pipa.
Well, how did you go from, you know, performing in that group as a small child to being in the United States and doing all that you have done now?
It's very, I always say it's a fairy tale story. And after 3 years, when I was 15 years old, then the art school in Hebei, where I was working, they asked if anybody wanted to go back to school. That was always my wish. Every time I see children with parents, I would cry because I miss my parents from 400 away. Also, I miss the school. So at that time, I went back to art school for 6 years and became a pipa teacher there. Then, unbelievable, the most famous pipa master, Lin Shicheng, is the sixth generation, the most famous pipa master. People refer like a Ravi Shankar on the pipa. Actually picked me. I became his student at the Central Conservatory of Music in Beijing. After I graduated, I went to Japan because I had a solo concert in Tokyo. The manager office saw me play, said, "Will you come to Japan?" I said, "Sure." So I went to Japan. Then I met a composer in China who saw my performance. They said, "Will you want to come to America to do a tour?" I said, "Sure." So then that's what I came to. And then later we fall in love, became my husband. But what I'm saying is since I came to 1994, actually March 11th will be my 30 years in Minnesota. I'm so excited. So first 6 years before my daughter was born, I was 8 months on the road as a performer all over the world. Until my daughter was born, I said, you know what, I don't want to, like my daughter, like me, there's no parents or no mom around us. I always travel, so I decided to stay, be a teacher as always want. So then I was lucky, became a teacher at Carleton. Now it's 22 years, but I'm still travel during the breaks. I just came back from China for 11 cities with a oud player in China, 21 shows. So it was wonderful. So my passion has led me is to collaborate with other musicians to I can learn. Because in the Chinese music, always five pentatonic scale, very beautiful. But when I play with the Indian musician, when I play with the wood musician and flamenco guitars, I suddenly feel like, oh my gosh, I can open so much bigger than I could be. So that's my passion, has been my passion for 30 years since I came to America.
So for the very first time, you made a recording and performed with a flamenco guitarist, Ignacio Lusardi Monteverdi, and the two of you kind of met at the last minute, and I think, was it like within a week or something, you put this recording together? I mean, an astonishingly short period of time. Tell me about how you met, how that journey came together, and what a beautiful recording and collaboration.
Thank you.
That's
absolutely is a fairy tale. I will say, I tell people, I was in Seattle, one of a New Yorker who is a pianist, also singer, wanted to, because she knew I love to improvise. Her elbows come up, and Vivi Liu, and she asked if I could play a short track. I said, sure, but I'm in Seattle. She said, will you be able to come back? I said, no, I'm directly go to London to see my daughter. She said, oh, will you be able to recording in London? I said, yeah, absolutely. Then she said, how about go to Abbey Road Studio? That's my dream. Since I can go, I will let you become a dream. I said, are you kidding? Really? I was so excited. Then she said, oh, too bad. The Abbey Road had to be 2 days or 10 hours. I said, your piece is only 2.5 minutes. I said, any other studio will be fine. So I get off the airplane in London. I saw the message say, by the way, I have record reserved 10-hour Abbey Road studio for you. You can go either 10:30 to 8 anytime, or you can use whatever you want. That was 1 week before I met Ignacio. So I went to my daughter's house, just got off. I wrote the Nexus, the label CEO. I said, could you please see if you can have any musician who would like to improvise with me to do an album? Because first I thought I would do a solo, but I said, oh, I want to do something else. So he sent me 7 different artists from India, from Iran, from all the different. I looked at the 7 musicians. I said, oh, flamenco. I never played that because that was so cool. So I picked him, and the CEO asked him, "Will you want to play with Gao Hong?" He said, "Sure." So we met 3 days before we went to Abbey Road. So we kind of had a quick figure out what do we do. So in 6 hours, we finished the whole album, and I just love that flamenco guitar is. Upset we go this way, and I'm upset go this way, but we all can strum the same way. We can, oh, I just love this so much. I think the two, the best combination, that's what I think.
One of the things that was surprising for the two of you was to discover that your cultures were not that different, but there were a lot of similarities. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. The most important for me, first of all, our both instruments came from the same root. Secondly, he showed me one of the pictures. It's a native Argentina, from Argentina. I said, that look like a Mongolian. You know, like from, because in China we have 56 ethnic groups. One of the is Inner Mongolian. So I say, that look like a Mongolian. So that's how we even collaboration with one of the piece is kind of like the piece from Mongolia and the native Argentina. We suddenly realize we're so different. At the same time, we're so together. And the techniques, the culture, and everything just come the magic in 6 hours.
The title of the recording is Alondra, and in Spanish, that means skylark. Why is this bird the perfect totem of inspiration for this recording?
Yeah, it's when I started looking for artists, then the producer just say, you're just like a skylark, just looking for everywhere. In the early morning, you just grab whatever it is. I say, yes, I wanted to do something I never done before. I like to take a rest. If I did it right, that would be so actually rewarding. If not, at least I learned a lesson. So Ignacio had this kind of idea of this skylark, a bird call. And we just did that, improvise based on the melody line. Then we both take kind of like a singing from our heart. I always said the Chinese people are almost like a butterfly and like a bird. That's how the Asian melody is, because we're not do a harmony like a dong-di-dong. Well, we always do like a butterfly. You go here, you go inter and together to fly up and down.
How does that opening skylark call really set the stage for what we're about to experience in the rest of the recording?
Wow, that was our first take. And also the first hosting for the album. And we both were very, very nervous if this album can be done. So when we first start, and especially when I play, so they always kind of like a opposite of Chinese rhythm. Chinese also balance, 2-2, 4-4. But this one, over the jumping over line, you know, tied for next. So right away, we both feel like, oh, it's so different, but it's so exciting. So right away, we feel like we're like birds singing together. That's how we feel.
I know one of the goals was for each of you to be able to incorporate your culture into this recording. How did you do that between your two instruments and the styles of music you play?
We decided to each one of us take a charge. Say, okay, you do Skylar, I will help you to add the butterfly and add the skylark bird. And then I will start have the longing for lovers. It's from Chinese traditional music. But when I improvise, I don't like to improvise the whole major, whole song. I only take like A major or 4 major. Then we fly together. So I kind of contribute of some of Chinese traditional folk tone. And he got some ronda, you know, the ronda from Spain. And I got some from Mongolian. We got a kind of like we both got our roots. Then to add a new concept. That's what I always say. Our music is not Chinese. It's not Spanish. You know, music from Spain, not music from China. I say it's called a new world music. Just put a new concept and everybody connected.
Ignacio composed a piece called Prayer as a tribute to the people who had lost their lives during COVID-19. And I'd love for you to talk about just how that piece came together. And it's filled with a lot of emotional
intensity. That piece,
I'm
glad you asked. One of the most difficult for me was the rhythm. What the Chinese music always 4-4, 2-4, 3-4, that's it. But this rhythm is 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 3, 1-2, 3, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. But can you imagine for me, that's like a foreign language? I said, oh my gosh, what do I do? I have no idea. Because when you improvise, you lose your count because I like to, from my heart, just play. So when he started giving me the rhythm, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 3, 1-2, 3, 1-2, how can I keep that? So I realized, you know what, if I put on my heart to kind of get my feeling there, and luckily, we were together. So it's all the takes is like one take or two take because we didn't have enough time. But I was so happy we got that rhythm. That hand down is the most difficult one for me.
I wonder, though, because you are so focused on playing from your heart, if that actually made it, I don't want to say easy because you said it was quite hard, but made it easier for you to pull it off more quickly because you were feeling it.
Yes, that I think that's what I always say when I play. I don't like to just play the notes. I like to play with the emotional idea from my heart. So when I heard his rhythm there, I just think about all the prayers.
Now, along the way, As we mentioned just a moment ago, you and Ignacio figured out that you had more similarities than differences, and this piece, Song of the Nomads, reflects that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's the one, and he would say, guess what? I find this picture look like from Asia. I said, yeah, really? And then he said, you can't look at this. I said, oh, that does look like Asia. It looks like from Mongolian. I said, how about we create a music from that? Kind of like we're kind of travel around. So, okay. So I started with da-da-dee-dee-da, just like a Mongolian folk tone. Then we take from there. Then suddenly we all together feel like our two nations travel together. That's how I feel.
And we hear some trotting horses in here too, right?
Yes, yes. Because I was thinking, since we're in the grassland, I wanted to add the trotting horse there to make a more picture.
I love how you do that. I wouldn't have thought so much about that without you showing me how you do that.
Yeah.
You said recording in the Abbey Road Studios was a dream come true. What was that like for you?
Oh my gosh, it's impossible for me. I never thought I would be in Abbey Road Studio because I can't, how could the Chinese people would go to rock and roll with this? You know, everybody know that. So when I heard she had reserved the Abbey Road, I was thinking, that's like a dream. That's why I tell people that's a fairy tale dream. So absolutely one of my highlights. I've been playing people for 52 years. That was definitely, this song is great, and everything was just dream come true.
There is another piece on this recording, The Dove, La Paloma, which stirs up some important memories for you.
Yeah, my first ever heard foreign music was this one. Because I was born during the Cultural Revolution, there's not allow anything from even classical music. For this piece particularly, I didn't want to play too much of improvisation because I want to keep that as my childhood memory. Very dear to my heart.
This whole project was such an incredible experience for you. I am wondering what you have discovered about yourself that maybe surprised you.
I like to take a challenge. If something I already done, I will say, oh, should I do again? Now, after this album release and the ARC, the label asked me, when you come to London again, we wanted to collaborate with, do other collaboration. I was thinking, I have to find something I never done to kind of like challenge myself. I like to take a risk. That's what I will say, because that's my personality since I left my family at age 12. I always on my own. I came to America. I found out so much incredible musicians just shocked me. So for me, my passion is to integrate all the music together, kind of like a world music, rather than just one.
Gao Hong talking about her new recording with Ignacio Lusardi Monteverdi. It's called Alondra. Thanks to Valerie Kaler. She's our producer for New Classical Tracks. Also, to see Gao Hong playing her pipa, go to yourclassical.org. This is New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher.